It's Prawn Cut with Sean Salisbury
and Steve Buhnen.
Prawn Cut, Salisbury, Buhnen.
Newton in the shotgun. Atlanta with a single high safety. Delayed blitz coming. Newton is going long and right. Tig in, grabs it. Tig pulls away. Touchdown! Tig in, Jr.
Cam Newton with a couple of long touchdowns to Ted Ginn Jr. and then a laser to Ed Dixon, the tight end, late in the game. The Panthers, 13-0. Newton, clearly the league's MVP. Steve Buhnen, Sean Salisbury. There's a but. There's a but coming here. The kind with one T. And to talk about that, we bring in the senior NFL reporter and senior investigative reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson, for his weekly 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 hit with us here on Prime Cut on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Charles?
I'm doing well. But on Twitter today, I'm just a big old racist.
You're taking a beating on Twitter, and as I just tweeted out myself, I think it's ridiculous. And I think there has been plenty of room to criticize Cam Newton, and in the past, he's earned a lot of in terms of credibility and maybe even leeway this year. But so let me just set this up for the listeners. What happened is with about 2 minutes left in that game over Atlanta, 38-0, he and about 10 teammates took a big photo, or somebody took it of them, again, while the game is still going on, whether there was a timeout on the field or whatever. But they take a big selfie. And people are calling you a racist. I think it's a fair criticism. So what is the biggest complaint and how do you respond?
What, it's fair criticism to call him a racist?
No, it's fair criticism of Charles to criticize the team for taking a picture while the game is going on.
Yes.
I hope that was clear to you, Charles. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it was clear. I think it's that I guess I'm getting a lot of backwash from, I think the letter that was written by, this Titans mom to the local paper in Charlotte and, just this idea that it's, veiled racism to be jumping on Cam because of these celebrations. The irony of all this is, and probably the problem with Twitter is that no one really knows any single person on Twitter. We don't really, unless you really follow them and you're, kept up with them 24/7, you don't know their stance. And as you guys would tell anyone, I've said in the past, I don't necessarily have a problem with, the dab and the first down stuff, the end zone stuff. I haven't had an issue with that. But, and this is what I tried to point out, what I wrote, is I think there's a line that when you cross it, it crosses into arrogance. And to me, taking a photo with 15-odd offensive guys on the sidelines while a game is still going, there's 2 minutes left. Really, all you got to do is you just got to wait 2 minutes. Game's over. Then you can take your picture. But to do it while the game's still in progress, I know you're up 38-0. I get that. But to me, that just kind of crosses the line into, I think it's disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful to your opponent. Not everybody is, going to agree with that. I just think there's a time and a place for a group photo like that, and it's not during the course of a game. You're already blowing them out. You're embarrassing them enough. You don't have to go the extra mile and take pictures. And, they've done this before, apparently, but to me that doesn't make it any more right. I still think that's just arrogant. And people apparently, for me to say that it's arrogant, and I'm not just pinging on Cam, I think it's arrogant of the Panthers. But apparently it's considered not criticism, but racism to say that that's arrogant.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, well, it's society and the way people are now. I'm trying to figure out what part of that's racist. I'm sure during the picture there was a white guy or two in the picture, so nobody cared about that. That's what I'm saying. In watching it, I'm a little bit more appalled that fans don't have a problem not for the Carolina Panthers. They got so much going good for them. You don't need to do all that. And you already got it coupled with every celebration, every single time, every first down. Now, they're kicking everybody's ass. I get that. But I don't know during a game why that photo couldn't have waited. I don't know. I'm a little bit more appalled that fans actually have a problem with you criticizing than I am that they're not actually going on saying, we don't need to do that during a game. I don't get it.
Well, it's not even – the thing is, too, I'm not saying don't take the photo.
When the game's over. Talking about when a game's over.
Yeah, that's great. I don't have any issue with the photo. I just think doing it, during the game – And it has nothing to do with Cam. If any NFL player is taking a selfie on the sideline during a game, before the game's wrapped, come on. Like, it's, I get it. Like, I understand. You're great. You're 13-0. They're fantastic. I said, you know, it was funny because I tweeted a Vine that's gotten 3,000, you know, retweets of that touchdown pass to Ed Dixon, which might be the best thing I've seen this year. It was unreal pass. But, you know, you have to be okay to – it's unfortunate that Cam is to the point where either you're completely pro-Cam or if you have anything bad to say, it's because he's a black quarterback.
Right.
And it's crazy that we're there because I'm not that guy. And maybe there are some people like that, but it's just not me.
No, it's not. Anyone who knows you or knows your work would certainly say that. Charles Robinson joining us from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him, 80,000 of you already do, at Charles Robinson on the Twitter. All right, so let's talk about the stuff. And you wrote this. You always have this Monday column, 10 observations from the week that was in the NFL. It's on Yahoo.com right now. And I had brought this up to Sean earlier. If I'm a coach, I forbid my quarterback, if he's anything better than mediocre, from ever trying to make a tackle. And Sean said, look, you know, it's competitive, you're pissed, you threw the pick, but it's just not worth it. You if you're Cincinnati, you'd let Stephon Tuitt go 90 yards, 95 yards with a pick six. That's not as big of a net negative as losing Andy Dalton for the rest of the regular season and maybe the playoffs.
Right. But, I mean, Sean brings up the unavoidable. I mean, it's those guys, it's not in them to, like Sean said, you're going to be pissed. Clearly Andy Dalton was upset, you know. It's just a little shovel pass, and I'm sure he was really, you know, furious in that moment. And it's just a bad, you know, his wrist slaps against, you know, Tua's knee, and, you know, there you go, that's it. But I said to someone, you know, there were people who were clowning Tom Brady for not getting Malcolm Jenkins on that, you know, 99-yard touchdown return for kind of whiffing on that. And I said, you know what? In hindsight, I'll bet you Patriots fans are like, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Whatever. Like, one play, let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I let's get to this team though, real quick. They're pretty good, aren't they? I keep expecting them to lay an egg and get a little bit too into the hype while they're taking pictures and the rest of it. They're beating people's brains in, and it's always somebody else. I can't believe how dominant they are. If I'd have told you at the beginning of the season and I'd named 12 teams that could go undefeated this year, you would have never said them, Charles. Nor would I have.
Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah. No. And they've just been, you know, for Ginn, to me, who for years and years and years, what we've known about Ted Ginn is, you know, elite special teams player, great return man, maybe a little bit of a wallflower when it comes to having to, you know, lay out to catch a pass, whether, you know, he's going to make the tough, you know, catches across the middle. You know, he's just a go route guy. But even Ginn's given them something. And, you know, Jonathan Stewart, it was funny, someone was kind of criticizing Jonathan Stewart to me, saying, well, you know, this guy's going to make $10 million next year. Is he really worth that? And I went and kind of looked at how Jonathan Stewart grades out for them. And from what he does, just from a pass-blocking perspective, you know, the role that he fills for them, he's probably worth $10 million for them. I mean, they have certain guys who seem like maybe they're not – you know, the big playmakers that they need, but that's how they're winning games with guys who are filling roles perfectly. I mean, Jericho Cotchery, this guy, I mean, remember him with the Jets, like that was like two teams ago and, you know, has filled a great role with them. And again, Cam, you know, to see Olsen go down and then Dixon, which was an amazing catch, that 4-yard touchdown catch, but Cam to put it over a lineman and a defensive lineman's shoulder as close as you can cut it to a helmet. And it was a dart. And Corey Bierman could have batted that pass. It was past him before he even knew it was coming. He's just playing on another level right now. And it's funny, that same column where I'm getting killed because I'm a racist against Cam. I just see Cam's MVP. Like, this is the best player in the league. And I love watching him.
Charles Robinson joining us, Yahoo Sports. Also in your column, 10 observations from Week 14 in the NFL. You write that the Texans should have taken Khalil Mack, number one overall, not Jadeveon Clowney. And you compare him to a couple of elite linebackers now. And as you mentioned, Dan Fouts complimented Mack with a comparison to one of the greats of all time.
Yeah, the Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, comparison in the midst of the 5 sacks. And, you know, it was funny. I was actually writing that in the middle of, you know, Clowney having a pretty good game. Obviously, I think it's, you know, arguably his career best game against the Patriots, had a couple of sacks. Clowney's picking it up. I mean, he's been a very good player in terms of how he's measured out against the run. He's been very good. He's had pressures on quarterbacks. It's just he wasn't finishing those sacks. Well, now, if he's starting to finish sacks, he's going to become a far more complete player. And then I can see nuance in that argument. You know what? They got the right guy. Clowney's fine. The thing about Mac is he's been a terror since he stepped onto an NFL field. He's been amazing, and he's got somewhere – he's got between 40 and 50 quarterback pressures this year, which is just – I mean, it's immense. And, you know, that's all really before the five-sack game where you can argue defensively he beat the Broncos by himself. I mean, he's just – a wonderful player, and, you know, that's been, for a team that's gotten so much wrong over the years, the Raiders all of a sudden are getting so much right.
Yeah, and we shouldn't, let's not give the defensive MVP award to JJ just yet. Let's let it finish it out, because Mac has an argument. Again, so does Keekly. Josh Norman did for a while, but he's playing great football. Real quick from me, two teams you don't want to play right now. Crazy to say Pittsburgh and Seattle, or am I right on?
That's bingo. That's the two. If you just asked me those two, I would not want to face either one of them. And, you know, Thomas Rawls, tough loss for Seattle. I mean, he's done some really good things for them, added some spark to that running game. But Russell Wilson, we talked about this last week, he's playing out of his mind. Doug Baldwin, I don't know what's – every week I feel like I'm saying to you guys, what's going on with Doug Baldwin? But, yeah, that's the two teams that I just would not want to play right now. They're scary.
I'm with you. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Charles Robinson. Just don't call him a racist. That's stupid. Charles, thanks as always for joining us on Monday afternoon. We will talk to you again next week here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.